Daniels. St. Helena, California, October 27, 1909. Elder Daniels Washington. Dear Brother, I have commenced several letters to you, but other matters that needed attention came in, and your letter was not finished. I have been instructed to present to our people very definitely the difference between the higher education so called by the world and that which the Lord regards as the higher education. In the instruction which the Lord gives, there is nothing fraudulent. It is true and safe instruction. Our study of the Word of God will help us to a right understanding of this matter. The psalmist David wrote, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come nigh unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 32, verse 5 to 11. Let us study also the 33rd Psalm. It contains precious instruction for those who wish to understand the ways of the Lord. In this instruction, men are encouraged to proclaim to their fellow men the exalted privilege of expressing the divine image in thought and deed. There is no encouragement for self to manifest itself in large propositions, but encouragement is given that the Lord will impress and refine and purify the heart and mind and life. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Verses 18 to 22. In our individual experience, we need to learn the meaning of true sanctification, because we have laid our ways and our will upon God's altar to be purified and refined and ennobled. This is pure religion. I am instructed to keep constantly before the people of God the divine favor to be obtained by seeking the Lord in faith and humility of soul. There is a deeper experience for each one of us to gain. If we will seek the Lord in humble confession of our sins, it will be seen by all that we are coming up on a higher platform. Our words and works will be of a character to reflect light. Selfishness will be extinguished, and nobility of soul will shine forth in works of righteousness. Oh, that every soul might look into the gospel mirror and reflect the divine attributes there revealed. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7. I am instructed to urge these words upon the minds of all who have had the light of present truth. The Lord has appointed angels to be our ministering spirits, that the powers of evil shall not destroy us. These words were spoken to me. The faith and works of my professed people fall far short of the assurances I have given them. In these words, you may find assurance that the Lord will do for us all that He has promised, if we will do our part to obey all His righteous requirements. It has been presented to me that there must be a cleansing of heart and mind and soul from every evil thing. Unbelief must be put away, and the professing believer must bring into his daily life the principles of the Word of God. I am instructed to say to the workers in our offices of publication, you may be very zealous for the publication and sale of our books and papers, but this will not make you acceptable in the sight of God if the warnings and strivings of His Spirit are unheeded. It is individual sanctification through the truth that God requires, that His name may be glorified.
Again and again I have repeated the instruction the Lord has given me concerning the opening of new fields that our large cities might hear the truths of the third angel's message. Yet with all the urgent calls that have been made, our brethren are not yet turning their attention to this work with the determination and earnestness that the importance of the case demands. A great work will be done in our cities when more earnest plans are laid for the furtherance of the cause of present truth in these places. We should release some of the workers that are now tied up in those places where many interests are centering, that they may go out as missionaries to communicate the truth to others. Not only should the workers in these centers be devoting their energies and means to the sending out of our publications, but they should also feel the importance of spending a portion of their money in supporting the living preacher in the cities where labor wisely expended will be very effective. The printed page cannot accomplish alone the work that the living minister can do. He can explain the scriptures to the people, praying with them and appealing to them, and making effective the truths of the Bible. Not merely one or two men are called to do this work, but many men and women who have ability to preach and teach the Word. As the messengers of God teach the Word and live themselves by its truths, heavenly angels will set home the Word to minds and hearts. One living discourse to a congregation of hearers may do a work that many publications could not accomplish. The minister's words, spoken under the Holy Spirit's guidance, his example in his association with the people, will accomplish a work that our publications of themselves cannot do. If necessary, let us limit the number of our periodical publications, and let us send forth men and women to labor in faith and consecration for the giving of this last message of mercy to the world. When it is possible, let the minister and his wife go forth together. The wife can often labor by the side of her husband, accomplishing a noble work. She can visit the homes of the people and help the women in these families in a way that her husband cannot. Some will offer themselves for service who are not adapted to this line of work. Direct these to a work that they can do, and encourage them to study the first chapter of 2 Peter. Here is a representation of the experiences that will fit men and women to become efficient workers for God. Select women who will act an earnest part. The Lord will use intelligent women in the work of teaching. And let none feel that these women, who understand the Word and who have ability to teach, should not receive remuneration for their labors. They should be paid as verily as are their husbands. There is a great work for women to do in the cause of present truth. Through the exercise of womanly tact and a wise use of their knowledge of Bible truth, they can remove difficulties that our brethren cannot meet. We need women workers to labor, and should encourage those who wish to engage in this line of missionary effort. Elder Haskell and his wife have united their labors in the California Conference. Conditions here demanded the capabilities of both. Let none question the right of Sister Haskell to receive remuneration for her work. Dr. Kress and his wife are likewise capable of uniting in missionary effort. None would question the right of Sister Kress to receive a salary. Laboring thus, Brother and Sister Kress can accomplish more than if they labored separately. Study the scriptures for further light on this point. Women were among Christ's devoted followers in the days of his ministry, and Paul makes mention of certain women who were helpers together with him in the gospel. Philippians 4, verse 3. The Lord has shown me that there is a work to be done in the cities that is scarcely entered upon. This question of the work in the cities is to become a living question with us. We must not now lay plans for a long, extended work. The message is to be carried quickly. The long delay in carrying out the instruction of the Lord regarding work in the cities has made the work of reaching all classes more difficult. The work must be undertaken at once, and the Lord calls for consecrated laborers who will engage in earnest effort according to the light he has given. Centers are to be made in many places. Our work is a worldwide one. Let evidences of the Holy Spirit's working upon our hearts be seen in our taking hold of this work in simplicity and in the power of God. Let us follow without delay the instruction of the Lord to prepare the cities for the coming of Christ. Postscript. Portland, Buffalo, Rochester.
It is important that we all realize that there is a great work to be done quickly, the work of giving to the world the message of present truth. We need wisdom how to time our labors. Let us not, when there is a world to be warned, spend on any one place a disproportionate amount of labor and money. Instruction has been given me by the Lord that the work for the cities should now be carried forward with increasing earnestness. Instruction regarding this work has been before our people for many years, and yet it has scarcely been touched. In Portland, Maine, where the message of truth was first given in the power of the Spirit of God, a work is going forward. The camp meeting there was an intensely interesting one. There were large congregations, and the best class of people were in attendance. At the meetings which we attended in the West, I had a burden to call for means for the Portland meeting house, and at several places, I appealed to the people for help. We did not obtain large sums of money at any place, but altogether, it amounted to $400 or $500. The city of Portland was greatly moved by the proclamation of the message in the early days. A great work was accomplished, and the glory of the Lord was revealed in a remarkable manner. Now the third angel's message is to go forth again with power. The city is to be supplied with laborers. New, strong workers must come in to do wise, thorough work. Let no forbiddings be raised to hinder the work that should be done in this place. Portland has been specially noticed by the Lord God of Israel. Should we not have there a house of worship that is worthy of the notice of the people? In Rochester, New York, and in other places, our brethren need encouragement and help to secure suitable meeting houses. Wake up, brethren. The work of uplifting the banner of truth must now go forward with new power. The Lord has shown me that our efforts must now turn eastward and be a help in the eastern, unworked fields. Wide awake, strong, healthy workmen are to break up new ground. This will bring encouragement to the hearts of those who have sacrificed in the past until means and health have all been given to the cause. Let the vigor of healthful, devoted labor be brought into these cities where the first and second angels' messages went with power, and where many of our faithful workers have fallen at their post of duty. The principles of health reform are to be promulgated in the state of Maine. In Buffalo, New York, the voice of the third angel's message is to be heard with power. Let the teachings of health reform be brought into every effort made to get the light of truth before the people. Let workers be selected who are qualified to teach the truth wisely in clear, simple lines. Let us not wait before beginning this work until all the way is made clear. Faith says, move forward. Christ says, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. Go on, step by step, departing not from that spirit of sanctification through the truth which the presence of the Spirit of God and obedience to the truth will give. Let none who have accepted this blessed faith and hope be found lacking in the spirit of self-sacrifice, as they engage in the sacred work of presenting to the people the truth in its simplicity. I am instructed to say, lower not the standard set for the minister of Christ in the life and labors of the Son of God. Cherish a Christ-like simplicity. Many have lost sight of the truth and its simplicity. Study the requirements of the Word of God. Buckle on the armor for warfare, remembering that the reward will be given to every humble believer who labors in faith and love. All should be interested in doing their utmost, not boastingly, but with earnestness and a fervent spirit. Teach the people to sense their accountability to God.